This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning into our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
The book of James really challenges us to live what I would call this completely integrated life, where our actions and behaviors are consistent with our Christian values and beliefs. There's almost like a divorce that has happened between Christian values and beliefs and behaviors. Somehow along the way, it became okay to be a Christian, to believe you're a Christian, but to act in ways that are not Christian. And that disconnect has harmed the reputation of what being a Christian is all about. And so how do we get to a place where our life is completely integrated such that what we believe and our values are shown and consistently applied and visible in our actions and behaviors? That's the goal of James. That's the challenge that James is giving us all today, to ensure that the way we live, our actions and behaviors are actually aligned with what you say you believe. That challenge is real. And so today, I want to really focus on this theme that is very prevalent throughout James, which is this concept of wisdom from God. Now, in the Bible, wisdom is a very important topic. Wisdom is covered throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. There's a great story in the Old Testament of King Solomon. And just to give you the short version of that, King David was the greatest king in Israel's history. Conquered many things, united the kingdom, many battles. We know how famous David was for all the things he did, starting with how he killed Goliath. And you go down the road of all the things that he did. Long story short, at the end of his life, he has the opportunity to pass the kingdom down to his son, Solomon. Solomon takes over the kingdom. The temple's still being built, and Solomon's young. And the Bible says that as he takes over the kingdom for his father, imagine stepping into the shoes of David, right? He was an amazing king. And so now young Solomon is now named king, and he has all the insecurities and all the imposter syndrome and all the doubts and fears all of us have when you step into a new thing. By the way, anybody here this year stepped into a new thing at work? Anybody like raises, promotions? Anybody stepped into a new thing? Wow, you all need to move up. When you move up, right, there's always that fear of, oh, can I do it? So Solomon's there. And the Bible says that one night, the Lord appears to him in a dream and basically says, Solomon, you can ask for anything you want. Anything you want. If I could give you anything, what would you want me to give you? If God appeared to you in a dream and tell you, I can give you one thing, anything, what would you ask for? And please don't say a car or... Like, what would you really ask? One thing. If God gave you one thing, what would you ask for? Solomon, in his dream, talks to God and says, you know, I'm new, I'm young. I don't know how to be a king. I'm not my dad. And there's so many people in the kingdom and so many projects to finish and so many enemies to deal with. There's no way I can do this. So God, if you can give me one thing, anything, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. That's the thing he asked for. How many know that's very mature to ask for that? And then God says, Solomon, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for the death of your enemies, because you didn't ask for anything else but wisdom, not only will I give you the wisdom, but I'm going to give you everything else you didn't ask for. The words and the desire, the ask from Solomon's lips pleased God so much as a heavenly father that he said, not only will I give you that, I'm going to give you everything else. How many parents can relate to that? When your kids say the right thing, when they ask for the right thing. And so he asked for wisdom, and to this day, he is renowned and remembered as one of the wisest men that walked the earth. You read the book of Proverbs, so much of there. Ecclesiastes, so much of there. So there's so much wisdom that he was able to obtain. And so the concept of wisdom, super important in the Bible. And so let me bring you to James 1:5. Because when we compare ourselves to Solomon, we're short on the wisdom scale, all of us. And I don't know about you, but I often feel like I lack wisdom. I wish I had more wisdom. I come into certain situations, certain decision points, certain forks in the road. I'm like, ooh, I'm not sure. So what do you do when you're there? And some of you might be there right now. James 1:5 says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, if you lack wisdom, say amen. Amen. Ask God. It's that simple. In theory. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Everybody say wisdom. So the word wisdom here in James comes from an original Greek word, and the definition of that word wisdom really refers to clarity. Wisdom is clarity, knowing what to do, knowing what to say, when to say it, who to say it to, why you're saying it. It's wisdom. It's clarity. It's clear to you what the path is. It's the ability to properly use knowledge. And let me make a distinction here. Wisdom is not purely a biblical concept. There's wisdom outside the Bible. And so outside the Bible, wisdom could be defined as the ability to properly use knowledge. So first you need knowledge. And then wisdom is when to use what you know. Right? That's regular wisdom. So prerequisite for wisdom in the world is to have knowledge, because you draw from there, and then at the right time, in the right place, you say and do the right thing, right? That's wisdom in the world. In the Bible, it's a little different. In the Bible, it's not just knowledge generally. In the Bible, wisdom is knowing and learning God's will, and then acting in a way that aligns with his will. That's biblical wisdom, is knowing God's will. Anybody over the lifespan of your life ever wore a bracelet, shirt, bumper sticker with the WWJD? What would Jesus do? Remember anybody? I think they're back. I just saw some of the youth with them. Like, oh, they're back. By the way, if you wonder if you're old, when you see things twice, you're old. I remember the What Would Jesus Do bracelets, like way back like in high school and college, and they're back. I'm like, uh-oh. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So wisdom is knowing God's will and then doing that. How do you know God's will? I mean, how could you know God's will? I got news for you. God's will is revealed through his word. So when you know the Bible, when you read the Bible, when you begin to discern the Bible, when you begin to absorb the Bible, like we're reading James, when you put the Word of God in your heart, that knowledge is not just knowledge, it's a description of God's will. And then when you face a difficult decision, you draw from that. So in other words, when you and I read the Bible and we absorb it, it's like you deposit into your heart. And then when you're facing a tough decision, you don't know what to do, you draw from what's in your heart. But if it's not there to begin with, anybody ever had the pleasure of going to an ATM machine and praying? It's happened to me. Thankfully, not in a long time, but it's happened to me. You go in very confident to draw some money, and you get that dreaded message that says insufficient funds, And what do you and I do when that when you see that? Anybody ever seen that? Look, can we just be honest this morning? Anybody ever seen that message? I know it was a mistake. I know it was the bank messed up, but anybody seen it? What do? We get mad. You press it harder. You kick it. You try it again. And there's still no money in there. When you need it, it's not there. And so it is with the Word of God. You got to deposit it in your heart. You got to put it inside. You got to store it away. You got to deposit it. One of these days, you're going to need it. And when you need it, you can draw from it and do the right thing. Some of you, some of us are doing the wrong thing, not because you want to do the wrong thing. You're doing the wrong thing because you don't know what the right thing is. And you don't know what the right thing is because you don't have truth in your heart. And you don't have truth in your heart because you don't read the Bible. And you don't read the Bible because you're spending mindless amount of hours watching dumb shows that do not edify your soul. Get off the Netflix. Get off Hulu. And Instagram and TikTok. All the old people, get out of Facebook. Get out of Facebook and put your face in the book. If you put your face in the book, maybe you'll get some knowledge. And you'll get some wisdom. And the next time you're in a pickle, you might just know what to do. That's wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously. God as the source of true wisdom. And I love this. He gives generously to all without finding fault. You don't have to do an application. You don't have to have a perfect track record of obedience and behavior. You can just go to God today and say, God, I need some wisdom, God. God, help me. I'm facing some big decisions. God, I'm at the proverbial fork in the road, and I don't know what to do. God, I'm stuck. God, I'm lost. Give me wisdom. And part of that wisdom begins with your and my part to get to know the Word of God so that we know where to draw from. So God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom. When I say wisdom, think of clarity. God gives you a clear path. In the midst of all the fog, God gives you clarity. That's the right door. That's the right choice. That's the right path. It's awesome when God does that for us. And this wisdom, I just want you to know, this wisdom, that clarity that God gives is available to all of us right here, right now. It's available. You don't have to go through a class. You don't have to go through an extensive semester of study. You just got to come humbly before God and say, God, I'm stuck. I need your help. I need you to show me which way to go. Point me in the right direction. Give me clarity. I'm confused. I'm scared. And you got to be careful because when we're confused, it tends to stop you. It tends to paralyze you. And life goes on and you're stuck. And you're not moving forward with life because you don't know which way to go. Wisdom is what gives you clarity to make the right choices in your life. And so we got to go to God. We got to trust God. We got to depend on God. We got to humble ourselves before God. We got to commit to God. So it's simple, right? So just ask God. Like sincerely ask God. Now, as you do that, following verses give us some caution. And it says this. But when you ask him, what are you asking him for? Wisdom. When you ask God for wisdom, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people, which people? Unsettled people. People with divided loyalties, people that are with God on Sunday but dancing with the devil on Friday. Those people, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So as we come to God, as we ask God for wisdom, as we begin to tap into the vast richness of God's wisdom available for us at work, in your profession, in your career, in your business, in your relationships, as you say, God, give me wisdom, I won't ask you to say amen, and please don't say a word, but some of you are in a difficult relationship right now. She's difficult. Don't say amen. Just look at me really big. Just open. Some of your husbands are difficult. It's Father's Day. Difficult. They don't listen. They don't do. They're stubborn. They're selfish. They're immature. They're inconsistent. They're forgetful. God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to deal with what I'm dealing with. So declaring our faith, our dependence, and our loyalty in and for God becomes crucial to this ask. And I don't want you to miss this. Divided loyalty leads to instability in life. Divided loyalty leads to instability. When you're devoted to God certain days and you live as if there was no God on other days, that creates instability. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't declare your love and passion for God while we're together here and then forget about God the rest of the week. That creates instability. You become like a wave of the sea, back and forth, back and forth. And let me tell you, in 25 years of pastoring a church, I've met a lot of waves in the church. Folks that are on fire for God. Like, Pastor, I'm ready. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. I mean, they're ready to go brave heart and paint their face. Let's go. And then I don't see him for 2 months. Like, where's Braveheart? Where'd he go? The blessing is in consistency. To consistently do the right things, to consistently honor God, to consistently and faithfully commit to God. That's where the blessing is. And so when we have divided loyalty, like you got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind who you're going to date. We don't believe in polygamy. And some of us are two-timing God. You love the world and you have an affair with God on Sundays. Or you love God, but you have affairs with the world a few days of the month. That instability, that duality creates chaos. Just like it does in real life. Can you imagine how chaotic your life would be if you were trying to hold two families together and one didn't know about the other? I've seen that happen before. At the funeral, they find out, oh, hey. Hello, half-brother. At the funeral, like, how unstable? How challenging is it to maintain a duality of life? Sometimes, look, life is already hard. Don't make it more complicated. Settle. Decide. This is what James is saying. Decide. You have divided loyalties. Therefore, your life's unstable. A lot of this chaos is self-created because we haven't made up our mind. And so as you go through this, just understand, remember, divided loyalty will always lead to instability. James 3 goes on to say, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Once again, you see the connection between wisdom and understanding God's ways, understanding the heart of God, understanding the laws of God, the principles of God. It's impossible to be wise in God's eyes if we don't first know truth and the principles that he wants us to live our lives by. So there's a connection there. And there's a big difference between wisdom obtained and wisdom applied. Have you ever met people that are really smart, but somehow always make dumb decisions? Oh, they're here? Sorry. You're like, you're so smart. You're so smart. Why do you do that? Like, you are so bright. Why? What in the world could have possessed you to choose that? Like, you're not dumb. You're smart. Why did you do that? Have you ever said that to yourself? It's like, I have. Like, you know better. What was that? Where did that come from? Right? So this challenge, it's one thing to obtain and know what the right thing is, a whole different level to actually do and apply that wisdom when it really matters. And this verse tells you, reminds us that wisdom is visible, right? Wisdom, intangible as it appears, actually can be seen. Wisdom becomes visible through our works and through our humility. And this is a big difference between intelligence and wisdom. A wise person would never brag about it. Smart people brag about their intelligence. Wise people never brag about their wisdom. They just consistently do the right things, and you see the fruit and the blessing of God in their lives. It just happens. They don't have to say a word. It shows. It's evident. It's visible. And so wisdom is viewed through our good works, the good things that we do, and the humility with which we do it. And I would challenge all of us to think about, how do we come across in our respective roles? As a father, how do I come across? As a leader, as a boss, as a manager, as a friend, as a parent, how do I come across? Where I'm at in life, at this stage in my life, how do I come across? Is wisdom visible? Can people say, wow, she's wise? Have you ever met young people that are wise? There's only a few, but have you ever met one? Like, they're unicorns. Because when you're young, anybody remember when you were young and you knew everything? Remember those days? You know it all. And you might be super smart, but you haven't lived enough to know wisdom. You haven't been through enough testing moments. How many know that's in the testing you find out who you really are? Oh, you can talk a good game. It's when it gets tough. It's when life hits you hard that it really comes out. So I've learned over the years, you know, when we go through moments of crisis, I don't think crises or difficult times, I don't think they change you. I actually think they just magnify what you already are. And so that's why acquiring knowledge, reading the Word of God, coming to church, just keep depositing in your spirit. And then one of these days when life gets rough and you have a split second to make a difficult, important decision, you draw from what's inside. But if there's nothing there, you have insufficient funds to make right choices. And so we need to make sure that we're in a position where not only do you and I think of ourselves as wise, but does it show through our good works? Does it show through our humility? And wherever we are in life, is that evident? Here's where it gets challenging. Because on the one hand, we want to be wise and do the right thing every time. On the other hand, we're human. And we have emotions and we have certain sinful tendencies lurking on the inside. Following verses speak to that. So we're trying to be wise. We're trying to do the right things. It says this, but if you are bitterly jealous, and if there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. So there's different kinds of wisdom, but not God's. God's wisdom does not include jealousy or selfish ambition. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Careful with jealousy. Careful with jealousy. Careful with coveting somebody else's stuff. That's not from God. That's earthly. That's unspiritual. That's demonic. Careful with having too much selfish ambition just about you. In Growth Store, we talk about this. God blesses you so you can bless others. Amen? That's how you keep yourself from getting selfish. Have you ever met people that get a lot of, all of a sudden start getting stuff and all of a sudden it goes to their heads? They used to be Charlie, now they're Charles. I'm like, dude, what happened? You were Charlie. All of a sudden you're using your middle name now? What happened? Gotta be careful not to get success get to your head. You gotta be careful not to let it change you. Right? Your identity's gotta be in Christ. Ups and downs in life come and go. Your identity is in Christ. So you gotta be careful with jealousy. So back 15. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. So this is the struggle, folks, inside all of us. All of us, let me say it this way. All of us are born selfish. All of us are born selfish. Like you're already born selfish. That's why for most kids, one of the first words they learn to say, what class they go to? I mean, what did Elmo teach them? Little Einsteins, like, where'd they get that from? Before mama and dada. And it's not just mine. How do they say it? How do they say it? You've heard it. Right? Mine! 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 Why do they say it? Because it resonates, right? That mind comes from a deep place, right? It comes from a deep place. So we're all sort of born selfish. That's the sinful nature. You're still a little cute baby. You're like, hi, they have a little toy, and they're smiling. Hey, like, oh, you get the little toy. It's like, mine. I'm like, whoa, hey. Wherever there's jealousy and wherever there's selfish ambition, and we're not talking about places out there, we're talking about places in here. Wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. So selfishness and jealousy are a battle with doing the right thing according to God. And so these things, worldly wisdom, disregards God's principles. And when we live our life that way, the Bible says disorder and evil will always fill a godless space. When you and I remove God from our heart, evil and disorder will come in. That's why God's got to stay here. God is the evil repellent. Have you ever done that with ants? Sometimes they do weird things, okay? I've gotten better. Like, there's a trail of ants, right? Like, I don't kill them all. You know what I do? Well, I'll get a few, but I would spray a big wad of ant spray. Just a big ball in the middle of the trail. So, yeah, the ones that were in the Shekinah glory, they're gone, right? But you know, what's interesting was what happened afterwards. As the ants come across that blob, you know what the ants do? Oh, heck no. You ever seen them? They go around it. They don't stop. They just go around it. They don't stop there. In wisdom, God in our hearts, when evil and selfishness wants to grab a hold of your heart and they see God, they're like, oh, I ain't going there. That kills me. Without God, they take over. So it's up to you and I to put God where he belongs. So that selfishness and all these evil things will not grab root of our heart. God is the repellent for all the sin. God is the repellent for all the evil. So put God in here. And then your life will show the blessing of avoiding all those things. And so let me finish with this. Last verse. So there's godly wisdom, and then there's wisdom of this world that disregards God's principles. And you kind of have to choose which wisdom, which kind of wisdom you want to have and live your life by. James 3, 17, 18 finishes this way, and I'll finish here. But the wisdom, and I love this phrasing, but the wisdom from above. I love that. The wisdom from above. And if there's wisdom from above, that implies that there's wisdom from, see, you're smart, right? If there's wisdom from above, then there's also wisdom from below. So which wisdom do you want to live your life by? The wisdom from above is, first of all, pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. How do you know when someone is operating from a place of wisdom from above? Those are the traits. And this is a beautiful thing about the Word of God. It shows you, it tells you, okay, if we're talking about trying, if we, you and I, say today, you know what, I want to live my life tapping into the wisdom that God gives. I want to operate and draw from God's wisdom in my life because I have decisions to make. I'm looking for a new job. I'm looking for a boyfriend. I'm looking for a girlfriend. I have all these options. What do I choose? Where do I go? Begin to look for wisdom in people's lives. For all the single people here, don't be so shallow to only focus on what they look like and what they drive and what they wear. And don't be that shallow. Go a little deeper. Begin to look for these things. Are they pure? Are they peaceful? Is he or she gentle? Is he or she giving? Are they merciful? Are they good? Are they fair? Are they sincere? Those attributes are a reflection of God's wisdom in somebody's life. That's what we look for. You're looking for a business partner, look for that. You're looking for a mate, look for that. You're looking to make new friends, look for that. Amen? That's what exemplifies someone that is operating with wisdom from above. They're pure. All the fathers say amen. Men, fathers, those traits for us as fathers. Again, notice what's not there. This doesn't talk about strength or, you know, throwing the ball hard. I mean, it's nice, but those things. When we as fathers show those things, we're pure, we're peaceful, we're gentle, we're giving, we're merciful, we're good, we're fair, we're sincere. As a father, those are the things we got to work on. We're already buff. Stop working out. Those attributes. Have you guys ever done surveys at work where they do, they ask people to put in a word, like, you know, on a phone or whatever, and you send it in, and they create these word clouds? Ever seen those word clouds? Right? So if everybody that knows you, hear me well, if everybody that knows, especially those that know you well, if I was to ask them, write one word that describes him or her, what words would show up in the word cloud? What would be the things? And what happens in a word cloud is everybody's answer is captured, but the words that get the most repetition get bigger in the word cloud. So let's say people say, she's really kind. And there's 100 people that said something. But if kind was the thing most people said, kind would be the biggest word on the word cloud. So if people were to describe you, what would those words be that show up? And would any of those things be on the word cloud? This is a test for us, right? Am I operating with God's wisdom? Because if you are, those things ought to be seen. Those things ought to be obvious. Those things like, oh yeah, he's peaceful. Oh yeah, she's giving. Oh yeah, he's gentle. Yeah, she's so merciful. I mean, she does not hold grudges. Or you know, they're good or fair. You know, all these things, right? Notice how it finishes in verse 18. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So when we do these things right, when we act with those attributes, we will plant seeds of peace. And what we will harvest or reap is righteousness. Both of those are necessary ingredients to live a blessed life. Plant seeds of peace, reap righteousness. Those things are necessary ingredients to truly live a blessed life. All of us want to live a blessed life, amen? It's not just going to happen. We have to partner with God to make it happen. We do it by tapping into the wisdom of God. I want to pray for wisdom. I know it sounds like a weird thing to pray for on Father's Day for all the fathers. I'm going to ask all the fathers, please. All the fathers first. All the fathers, would you please stand? All the fathers, please stand. Now, come up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, dads, up here. All the dads in the front at the altar, I want to pray a prayer of blessing. I want to pray for wisdom. 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 Some of the wives are pushing him up here. Yeah, you need it, baby. Get up there. Church, let's all stand. Come on, fathers, fathers, up here. There's a big spot in the middle right here. Come on, come forward, come forward, come forward. Come on, fathers, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. I'll wait for the last one. I'll wait for the last one. Come on, fill the middle. Come closer, come closer, come closer, come closer, come closer. Wow, awesome. Can we give all the dads a hand? Beautiful group. All the fathers on stage up here, all fathers, except for Sebastian. Not you. He's too young. Fathers, guys, all of you right now, are facing some decisions, different types of decisions, but there's weight on you as a father. There's expectations of you. People are relying on you. People are depending on you to make the right choice, the right decision. For those difficult decisions, we need God's wisdom. I want you to know today, you have access to God's wisdom. And as you pray, whatever's going on in your life, whatever big decisions or choices are coming your way, I want you to ask God to give you wisdom for those choices. Amen?
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.